If you've got your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to Luke chapter 10, and I'll throw this question out because I'm not sure if there is. Does anyone know if there is children's church this morning? I don't see Tammy here, but I saw that her name is in the bulletin. So I'll assume that means there's no children's church today. So kids, you're here. Enjoy. I was talking with someone from church a couple weeks ago, and I think they kind of thought that I like country music, and I'll confess that I don't really enjoy country music, and I'm kind of guessing that many of you do, so I'm kind of guessing that maybe we don't think about the same thing sometimes. They had asked me if I had heard about a song, and the song was called, I'm going to get what the song was called. It was called I'll Pray For You, and it's written by an artist called Jason and the Long Road to Love. I don't know if you've heard about this song. I see a couple of smiles. I'm thinking a couple of you have heard the song. They had asked me if I had heard about the song, and I said no. They said, well, you got to listen to it because kind of frustrates you as you hear the words of it. And if you don't know anything about the song, it's a song in which the writer of the song, they go to church what appears to be like the first time in quite some time. And as they hear the pastor says something like, you know what, if you know some people that need to have some things happen in their life, you should pray for them. So the guy is encouraged to pray for these different people in his life. But the part where he kind of messes up is he actually prays for bad things to happen to these people in his life. And let me just share with you some of the things that he prays for as he writes this song. He says, I pray that your brakes go out while you're running down a hill. I pray that a flower pot falls from a window sill and knocks you in the head. I pray that your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray all your dreams never come true. I pray your tire blows out at 110. And I pray that you're flying high when your engine stalls. Now, this is a great example of why I don't listen to country music. Actually, when I heard that song, I kind of thought, wow, that is just a dumb thing to pray for. I didn't know if I should be mad or angry or sad or disappointed. I didn't know what the best reaction was. What I knew was that I didn't agree with the guy who wrote this song, who prayed this prayer. And as I was thinking about what this guy says that's just foolish, I was thinking about our passage this morning. We're looking at Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. It's a conversation really between Martha and Jesus, and it's a conversation about what is the right attitude to have. And in the conversation, Martha says some incredibly foolish things to Jesus. So that's what we're going to look at right now. We're going to look at these words that Martha has with Jesus. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This morning, I just want to mention that Martha, she's the one that's mentioned here who comes across maybe even considerably foolish. Her foolishness is not totally, it's not a total message that she's one who is pursuing things that are foolish. Martha, she is about service, and her service was good. Her service wasn't bad. She is making this great gift to Jesus and to his disciples. But here's the thing that happens with Martha as she serves. As she serves, the service becomes her focus, and she takes her eyes off of Jesus. She takes her eyes off of the cross. And that's where things really get messed up for Martha. And as we talk about Martha, I think it's important that we say this, that doing and serving are very good things. They're very good, positive things that we can do. But they can also be traps. We can get into these traps that get us off of our focus on Jesus. And that's what happens, it appears, to Martha in this passage. I was driving around our county this last week, and I drove past a church, and the church on their street sign, it had just a short saying, and I don't know if this is the saying that kind of just sums up what their hope is for the people in the church, but the sign said, gathered to serve. And I thought about that sign. If that was the entire hope of that church, that they were just gathered to serve, I think they're really missing the point. And I think that's kind of the trap that a lot of mainline churches have bought into, that we're just here to serve. Even some evangelical churches, they bought into this trap that we exist to serve. That's a part of why we exist. But the big picture is more than just that God's people are together to serve. It's we're together to be in relationship with one another. We're together to worship with one another. We're together to pray for one another, to support one another. Or we're together to be in God's Word. And we're together to serve. But if our perspective is that service is all that there is to being a Christian, that's the fault in thinking this way about service. This morning, what I want to do is I want to look at Mary and Martha and see if we can catch any of the traps that really Martha walks into in her conversation with Jesus that show us about her kind of faulty attitude that she's developed on her ideas about what service should be about. Now, before we talk about the three traps that I want to name, let me just say this more about Martha. Martha, she does a really good job by being willing to open up her home to Jesus. This is not a small task. This is not an easy task. And being a hostess, that meant that there would be a lot of work. And if any of you, if you've had a number of people come over to your home, you know that the more people that you have, the more work that there is to do, the more food that you have to prepare, the more perhaps cleaning that you have to do to get ready for people to come. And Martha, she's got a number of disciples plus Jesus that are coming over. And in the story, here's the thing that shows itself about Martha. The lesson that Jesus seems to be impressing upon us is that all of this service that Martha does, it's okay. It's not bad. It's good. He wants her to have this right perspective. But he compliments Mary for her willingness to sit at Jesus' feet. And at the same time, as we point out what Jesus does as he compliments Mary and kind of points Martha, we need to also recognize that for Martha, this service that she wants to do, this is her way of showing her devotion to her Savior, to Jesus. But somewhere along the way, the important thing for us to catch is that her devotion gets messed up as she loses her perspective, as she steps into these traps and she takes her eyes truly off of Jesus. Here's the first trap that I want to name this morning. It shows up in verse 40. And that trap is related to that service became the goal for Martha. The goal was not to be in relationship with Jesus. The goal quickly becomes about serving others and just doing. Verse 40, we'll look at part of it. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I was thinking about this point for myself and about how I've stepped into this trap myself. A couple months ago, a number of our churches in our community, we had an event as an outreach event for junior high and high school students. We had a big set of concerts at EJ. And as the concerts was going along, as we were preparing to get ready for these concerts, all of the youth workers and pastors that participated in planning it, we all were assigned different tasks. And some of the tasks that I had was to get some of the publicity information out to other churches, to do some marketing to all the students that we had addresses for, to contact radio stations. And that was a big part of my role, getting tickets out as well. And the night of the concert came, and it was a national tour. The bands had done about 40 cities in about 3 or 4 months. And the manager came and he was speaking to all of us that were part of the leadership team. And he said, "Hey, I just want you guys to know, you guys have done a great job. You've got a number of people here. You've got the biggest crowd that we've had in any of the places that we've been on our tour." And I kind of was like, "Yeah, I'm proud of that. I was glad to hear that." And here's where I lost perspective, just like what Martha does. I started to compliment myself. I started to pat myself on the back like, "Hey, we did a good job." And where I lost sight was this. I lost sight that what really mattered was that there was people in the audience that needed to hear about who Jesus is. And I'm glad that somewhere along the night and the evening, my perspective was righted. Now, here's the thing for all of us. We can all, in ministry and out of ministry, and maybe little things that we do inside the church or outside the church, we can step into the same trap that Martha steps into. We can think, "Hey, look at this thing that I've done. I've done this nice thing, this gesture." Maybe you spent some time planning for some sort of event or for doing some work inside the church. Maybe it was, you know, planting flowers or whatever it was. Maybe you did this task, and as you stepped back and you looked and you saw the good job that you did, you wondered, "When is someone going to thank me for what I did? When is someone going to tell me how good of a job that I did?" You know, when we start thinking that way, we've stepped into the same trap that Martha steps into. We should encourage people. We should thank them when they've done a good work. But when we look back and we think, "Hey, I've done all this. When's someone going to thank me?" We've stepped into the same trap that Martha steps into. Here's the second trap that I want to name that Martha steps into. It again shows up in verse 40. Martha, she compares herself to her sister, and she whines while she does it. Verse 40, this is another part of it. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do this work by myself? Now, based by the culture of this day, it would have been very normal, very appropriate for Mary and Martha to both be doing the work inside the house of getting ready for this meal, doing the kitchen prep, doing any cleaning. It would have been very appropriate. Mary, though, she doesn't find it that necessary for her to be in the kitchen. Martha does, though. But we can look back and we can see that as Martha, as she addresses Jesus, as she tells Jesus these things, she does at least two things wrong as she speaks to Jesus. First, here's what she does. She accuses Jesus of not caring for her circumstances. And secondly, as she does just that, she whines about it. For us, let's think about this trap a little bit more. Do you and I, do we ever have a right to suggest or to accuse Jesus of not caring for us? We don't. We don't have a right to do that. But that's what Martha's doing here. She's suggesting that Jesus doesn't care for her, that Jesus isn't concerned with her needs. The psalmists do a great deal of expressing the emotions that people have as they live their lives, as they deal with the different situations that come into their lives. And some of the psalms are called the lament psalms. They're psalms in which the psalmists express kind of the remorse, the grief, the tensions, the emotions that are going on in their life. And when the psalmist says those things in those psalms, they're always saying, God, this is my circumstance. Would you step in? Or they're asking God, how long will you be angry at me? How long will you continue to have these thoughts towards me? Never, though, does the psalmist accuse God and say, God, you don't care for me. They're always looking at God and asking God, I'm ready. I'm ready to give myself over to you. That is a big picture of some of those psalms. That's not Martha, though. Martha, she wrongly asserts that Jesus doesn't care for her, and she whines while she does it. You know what, for you and I, Jesus doesn't need our whining to get his attention. Jesus loves to interact with us. He loves to hear our hearts. He loves to hear our problems. He loves to know what's going on inside of our lives. So Martha, as she whines, as she complains, as she accuses, she is totally here. She's in the wrong. And the response of Jesus back to Martha is that he lovingly speaks the truth back to her. He encourages her, and he lets her know that the things that she's been stressing over, she needs not stress over. Practically, for you and I, as we live our lives for Christ, I think we should be reminded that we don't have to approach Jesus like some whining and complaining baby. That's not how we can approach Jesus. Jesus just wants to hear our hearts. He wants to hear what's going on in our lives. Here's the last trap that I'll name that Martha walks into. And again, verse 40, a big verse in naming these traps. It's the last thing that Martha says to Jesus about Mary. She says, tell Mary, tell her to help me. As we think about Martha here, she really crosses a line with Jesus. In her quest to serve and to do a good job, she gets so out of focus that she starts to tell Jesus what to do. So let's ask ourselves this. Do you and I, do we have a right to tell Jesus what to do? Not at all. Here's the gospel side of this passage, though. It's as foolish as Martha shows herself to be that Jesus has some good words for her. Verses 41 to 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, as he responds back to Martha here, he recognizes that she's upset. He recognizes that she's worried. He recognizes that she's stressed over all the details of this gathering. But there's one thing that Jesus tries to impress upon Martha that really matters for Jesus for Martha to hear. Martha needs to hear that the details of this event, they don't matter to Jesus. That, you know, is the food going to be the best food possible? That's not what matters ultimately to Jesus. Is there enough food? Is the house clean? If there was toys in the house, are they put away? That's not what matters to Jesus. What matters to Jesus is that he gets to spend time with his guest, or with the host, I should say. That's what mattered to Jesus here in this passage. And that's what he's trying to impress upon Martha. And that's why he commends Mary for sitting at his feet. Mary, she's sitting at his feet when she could have been doing some of the preparations for the meal. Jesus' hope for Martha is the same thing, is that she would want to sit at the feet of Jesus as well. Now this morning, I hope you don't hear me just completely bashing Martha. I'm not bashing Martha. Martha, she's got faith in God. That's why she does this act of service. It's because of that. But Jesus, here in this passage, he's trying to get her to understand that the most important place that she can be is sitting at his feet. You know, in these days when this story happened, it was of the greatest importance for the host to spend time with their guest. That's the way a host communicated to their guest that they mattered. That's Martha's story here for sure. Martha, she's trying to communicate to her guest that they mattered. One of my commentaries said this about Mary, though. It said, Mary's posture and eagerness to absorb Jesus' teaching at the expense of a more traditional womanly role would have shocked most Jewish men. Here's the thing, though, about Mary that we can commend. She is totally countercultural. She doesn't care what her culture expects. She's in this thing. She's in this this meal. She's in sitting at Jesus' feet because that is what mattered to her. You know, as we compare Martha and Mary, I think we can make some comparisons to how many people approach God today. I think many people approach God in very much the same sort of way as Martha did. Many people, they approach God with a, hey, I'm gonna do good works. I'm going to do good things. I'm going to earn God's favor. And if you look at what so many of the world religions out there teach, they teach that kind of very same thing. It's about what you do. It's about doing something that earns God's favor. That's not, though, the message of Jesus here. Jesus' message is that Martha would simply sit like Mary at his feet and that she would be in relationship with him. And that is a very countercultural message to what we hear today. Today, there's so many people that want to earn God's grace. They want to earn God's favor. But there is nothing that you and I can do to earn God's favor. If we could earn God's favor, it wouldn't be called grace. It'd be called a wage. And there is no wage that we could ever earn that would earn us favor with God. That is what the gospel is all about. Romans 3, 22 to 25. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God's story is that He has grace to give to each of us. He wants to give that away, not to have us earn it. At our house, my lessons in fatherhood that I continue to learn in is that my daughter, she's got a very independent attitude. She loves to think that she can do everything all by herself. And there's a number of things that she can do by herself. You know, she likes to brush her teeth, and for the most part, she does that by herself. She loves to get dressed as much as she can. She loves to, you know, do as much as she can by herself. And whenever I kind of mess with her thoughts, she's got a couple words for me. She says, like, Daddy, I can, all by myself. She just, all by myself, or I can do it. And sometimes there's some things that she wants to do that she can't do yet by herself. I can't name those off the top of my head right now. But sometimes the temptation that I have is that when she's trying to do those things that she can't do by herself, I still want to go in and I want to help her and I want to get her so that she gets to get those things done. And she keeps telling me all by myself. And then here's what happens. This is what I'm learning. This is kind of how I see things. I'm trying to let her do those things that she can't do by herself so that she can see that she does need me, that she does need me to come alongside her and to help her. And I think that's a part of what Jesus is trying to impress upon Martha here. He's trying to get her to see that, you know what? You need to just be at my feet. You just need to be still. You just need to be in relationship with me. You need me to do all this for you. That I think, is a big lesson that Jesus is trying to impress upon Martha as he shows her the good things that Mary's doing. But, you know, let's think about being still. That's Jesus' invitation, is that Martha would be still. We're a people, if you're like me, that we don't like to be still. I don't like to be still. I'm not good at being still. Being still is tough. Sitting at Jesus' feet, that is tough. I'd much rather let's do something. Being still, that's a tough thing to do. But that's Jesus' invitation, that we would be still. I don't know how long ago, this is a few years ago, I was at one of my elders' homes out in Washington State, and my elder was showing me how he relaxes, and he's very much into the bow and arrow. Maybe some of you are into bow and arrow. He just does it for archery, not for hunting. And he's showing me these handcrafted bows that he's got, these handcrafted arrows that he's got. These are like prizes to him, and he's showing me how he shoots the bow and arrow, and he's stepping back, and he's showing me, and he lets go of the arrow and hits it right on the target. Perfect. And then he's going to give me an opportunity to do the very same thing. So I'm standing. I'm trying to get the same posture as him. I'm stretching the bow as much as I can. I've got the arrow. I've got my one hand on the tip. And he's telling me exactly how to hold it. And I'm getting ready to fire. Then he comes and he flicks my ear. As soon as he flicked my ear, I just let go of the arrow, and the arrow just sailed completely in the wrong direction. You know what? We're given counsel from Jesus to just sit at his feet, to be still. We've got so many distractions around us. Being still, that's a tough thing to do. But that really is Jesus' invitation for us, to be still, to sit at his feet. And this morning, as I describe this life where Jesus asks us to simply be in his presence, I don't want to suggest to you that I'm saying that, hey, being a disciple means that we're to be lazy. That's not what I'm suggesting. I do want to suggest this. I am suggesting that being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it doesn't start with service. It starts with being at Jesus' feet, with being in relationship with Him. And out of that relationship with Him comes all these other things, service and worship and giving and prayer. The starting point for relationship with Jesus Christ is being in His presence. So this morning, I'll ask you this one question. How do you find yourself trying to please God? Do you find yourself trying to please God, to do good things? You've got to know that the beauty of the gospel is that we don't need to do anything to get into God's presence. That Jesus Christ has done it all. John 19, 16 to 18. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. Here they crucified him along with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, he went there. He went there to accomplish for you and I what we can't accomplish on our own. Jesus has done for us what we can't do for us for ourselves. This morning, I just want to leave you with this encouragement. That any time that you view being a disciple of Jesus Christ as something that you do, to be reminded that Jesus' heart for us is that we would simply be at His feet. I think that's a good news. I think that's a tough thing for us to wrestle with. But I'll encourage you, find yourself at Jesus' feet.